It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
A lot. It is about that time of the day. Nah, I got it. Vontae's book, Oh Baby. Shasky's book, Did You Mention Me?
That's pretty good. I already know I won't be in there.
What, my
I'm
book?
I'm going to get snubbed. I already know.
My book? No, you're going to have...
It's going to be everybody.
There might be five chapters.
Everybody but me.
No. There's some snubs. You will not be a snub, trust me. You will have a big... It'd be a big part in it.
I don't know if you could tell the Bonte Hill story without the butcher. So,
no,
yeah, you're pretty safe there,
you
Shasky.
Can't. I think you are safe. You don't have to worry about that.
If you tell the story about peanut butter, you have to include jelly.
Yeah, so
right?
I don't know why you're worried about it.
I mean, you'll be the Scottie Pippen version of this, though, so we'll see.
No, you won't be the Scottie Pippen. No. That might be Guru. Or Scottie.
Oh, whoa.
There will be some snubs.
Steiny's Doug Collins.
There will be some snubs. There will be some snubs. Trust me.
Where does Nahegan fit into this book?
Oh, he's in the book. He's in it. Nahegan's got to say a lot of good things about Nahegan. A lot of good things. It's kind of been like my angel. As Carlos Ramirez talks about the devil and the angel on one shoulder, Nahegan's been my angel on my shoulder.
More Phil Jackson than Jerry Krause.
Oh, big time. That's a good call. Phil, you're on fire today.
Does Papa get mentioned a lot? Big chapter on
him?
Oh,
what?
Huge
absolutely.
Chapter.
He's Doug Collins.
Who gets the bigger chapter? Uncle Marty or Papa?
Ooh. That's a great question.
I'm already picturing when we get to the end of the book and I'm being interviewed and I'm like, I mean, just, I could never fill the shoes of either Papa or Uncle Marty. I mean, he loved those guys. He didn't like me half as much.
I didn't like you at all, Shasky. It's work related.
And I let him talk.
We don't get to pick who we get to work with. Yes, I do talk a lot. I get to talk. Scuttle Clark the Shark.
We went to Vegas. Great. The Niners lost the Super Bowl, and Popeyes ran out of chicken.
And then I got Chinese food, and they didn't give me no utensils. And my hotel room, so where were we at, the Luxor? My hotel room was literally all the way down that long ass hallway. It would have took me 15 minutes to go back downstairs and get a fork.
I'm picturing
elevators.
The saddest thing. 1 a.m, yeah. Bonte opens it up with like chow mein with his hands on. Eating
the Excalibur.
Feelings.
Yeah, the Excalibur.
The Excalibur, and God bless the Excalibur. It might be a sponsor someday. But there's stains everywhere. I mean, there's just...
Dude.
The bed looked like it was moving.
I do not think
there
will be a sponsor.
Dude.
I like the Excalibur.
I'm eating chow mein with hands, dog. The day we lose the Super Bowl, and I open up the curtains, and the Legion Stadium's right there staring me in front of the face. Perfect view of the stadium. I'm thinking, my team just lost the Super Bowl there. And I'm eating the Excalibur, dog, on a Sunday night. What is going on here?
After they lost, I said, dude, I need some fried chicken. And Bonte's like, that sounds like a great idea. So we like walked over there. We knew there was a Popeyes. We walked over. It was a super long line. We waited forever. We get like up to the front. They're like, yeah, we're running out of chicken. We're like, you're running out of chicken? What?
Fried chicken is off the hook.
It is off the hook. I was so angry.
I was angry. I was irate.
I was
that Chinese
so
food disappointed.
I might have been more angry at that than not going for it on 4th and 3.
And then we come to the studio out of nowhere. And this lady who was running the studio was a big politician. I'll just leave it at that. And she was saying some wild things.
She
liked Bosa's hat. See, why you have to. I didn't mean to. Couldn't help yourself.
Time for the legal.
Just couldn't help yourself, could you? You're listening to 95.7 KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey. And we come to the most I mean, this radio station, this studio that Matt DeHiga put us in, you want to talk about saving a buck? We were better off not doing a show there.
My closet has better airflow.
Not one, but two shows there. So not only do you have to stay the day after, but another day on top of it.
It was unbelievable. What a disaster. Clark the Shark, good morning.
Clark!
Hey, good morning, Bonte Belafonte and Cup of Joes. God bless you guys and God bless America. I'll tell you, it's pretty funny going on in there. It sounds like you guys are having a great time.
Absolutely. Not like you, though. Where are you at right now? Are you back? Are you in the Philippines? You in South Carolina? Where the hell are you at?
I sold my house in Myrtle Beach. And I'm now living in a shack down by the beach, still in Myrtle Beach. And I wanted to say, by the way, on the chicken thing, Bojangles is the best chicken.
Yeah, I heard Bojangles is good.
When you're in the South.
I heard Bojangles
is good.
Yeah. The Niners make the Super Bowl. I will let you know if that's good or not. Because it's New Orleans, right?
All right.
I don't know if they have one, yeah. Bojangles in New Orleans.
Okay, I don't know. I've never even heard of it.
They have a lot of Popeyes in New Orleans.
Okay.
And the Popeyes there. Let me tell you, Clark the Shark, the Popeyes in New Orleans, it's next level Popeyes.
What's the one that everybody hypes up in Arizona?
Raising Cane's.
It's
they have one in Alameda.
It's okay.
Anyway, Clark the Shark, go on.
Okay, before I get to the, I just had a couple things on the Niners, but I just wanted to say on Bonte's book, I think it could be Bonte the Bloviator. Come on, and I know who will narrate the audiobook, Ralph Barbieri. Now, Bonte went to the Warriors. No, I'm just kidding, Bonte. Don't get mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. That's pretty good. I like it. I'm a self-deprecating guy at heart. Trust me, I like you a lot more than BPA. Trust me, Clark the Shark. You're high on my list. I don't, Clark the Shark, I don't call for BPA to call. I call for you to call. That should mean something.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. The Warriors, by the way, really surprising, nice things. But on the Niners, a couple things I got. I give Shanahan like a C-plus at best, because he should have fired that special teams coach last year. And he's not like Walsh. Walsh lets him go a little early rather than a little late. And he's got his special, like, guys that he's pet guys, it seems like. And I'll tell you, I wish they had traded Ayuk last year, but that's crying over spilled milk there. What do you think? What do you think on that?
C plus is fair. It's fair, Clark. By the way,
one of the funniest Ralph Barbieri, God rest his soul, impressions I've ever heard.
It was pretty good. It is pretty good. Bonte the Bloviator. Butcher's book. All the meat. Play the game with overnighters and a king.
It's not bad.
Give me the meat.
It's not bad. That's not bad at all. Every time I see somebody creeping by these windows, it's still like they're spying on me to see if I have YouTube up or something. I don't have YouTube up. There's no point in having YouTube up no more. The chat has been disabled. And I don't think it's coming back anytime soon. By the way, I was driving down the street. I saw Tyler Miller.
Oh, what's up, Tyler?
No, I was like, hey, Tyler, what's up, man? He's doing all these crud hits.
I know. Was he driving? Was he walking?
No, he was walking. He was strolling.
Yeah?
He was strolling.
Nice. How does he feel about Brock Purdy?
Oh, I'm happy with Brock Purdy. Boy, we got a big game on Sunday. Big game tomorrow with the Warriors and Celtics. Big game on Sunday with Niners and Bucks. Oh, man, these are big games. You're great for Shanahan. 888-957-9570. We got Mike Florio coming up at 9:20. We'll ask Mike Florio to give a grade on Shanahan. I'm willing to bet my bottom dollar it would not be anything within the A and B range.
Hey, look, they were 5-3 last year. They won 6 in a row. Beat at the time a 6-2 Jacksonville, a 4-5 Tampa, a 6-4 Seattle, a 10-1 Philly, a 6-6 Seattle, and then a 3-10 Arizona. It can be done.
Yeah, well,
it can be done.
Well, when you factor in that they were 14-1 in November and December the last two seasons, yes, it can be done. Or how about being 16-2 after the bye week the last two seasons? Yes, you damn right it can be done.
And last
They've done
year,
it.
And last year, Philly was 10-1. They lost to the Niners. They lost 6 of 7 to end the year. Jacksonville, at one point last year, was 8-3. And they lost 5 of 6 to end the year and have never been right. So I know today, and look, I think Detroit's in a separate class, but today there are certain teams that have just looked better and have played better football than the Niners. But it's a long season. And if any fan base knows, it's ours.
Look at you.
You got to finish it out.
Look at you. I'm so proud of you.
I know.
I'm so proud of you. Wow. I'm blown away by this. I'm so proud of you.
The guy that's always liked Shanahan's rooting for Shanahan. I know. It's incredible.
Even though you will take Bill Belichick in the Texas second. By the way, some news in the NFL.
I hate that.
There's high-level haters, too. The Commanders have emerged as a real contender for Saints quarterback Marshawn Lattimore. Ooh. Chiefs have had interest in a former Pro Bowl corner as well.
Wow.
Still 4 hours ago before the deadline.
So Lattimore is being linked to which teams?
The Commanders and the Chiefs.
The Chiefs would be disgusting.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins last night looked amazing.
Yeah.
And he literally walked onto the field from Tennessee. Like, he looked amazing.
Is anyone shocked? Like,
no.
I'm not.
No.
It's the least surprising thing.
I
Travis Kelce always stinks. It's Taylor Swift. Please. He just balled out in back-to-back weeks. He's fine.
Xavier Worthy is just going to run nothing but freaking 9 routes all year, and he might not get a look for the rest of the season because DeAndre is going to be open all day.
You know, they gave up a 5th-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. What a steal. And by the way, Taylor Swift music is growing on me. You know who else is growing on me? The guy's up on the screen here right now.
Who?
Pat McAfee.
Why?
I don't know, man. I think he's doing a hell of a job. College Game Day next to Saban.
You know why?
His show next to Darius, like Darius Butler, their breakdowns are really, really good.
Because he loves
on that show.
Sports.
Yes.
And he doesn't sit there and hate on people.
Yeah, he's growing on me, man. He really is. I'm starting to dip this guy a lot more.
He had an incredible backpedal yesterday on his Anthony Richardson take. It was all time.
Because
he was all in on Flacco, and that's 2 days of change.
And Flacco missed some open receivers in that game.
Don't forget, Bay FC did clinch a playoff spot last Saturday to take out of the Washington Spirit in the playoffs, the most successful expansion team in NWSL history. I almost said playoff history, but NWSL history.
Butcher End. Man, you guys helped me get through my mornings.
All right, Mike Florio coming up. It'll be brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
But I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
All right, let's bring it back. We got our main man, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Oh, man, he does a great job. He's got the book, Father of Mine and Son of Mine, available right now on Amazon. I hear a third book is coming in. Mike Florio's just writing books left and right. How do you find the time, Mike? How do you find the time as we bring him in here on the River Islands guest line? Of course, the River Islands guest line. We love Lathrop. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands? I may discover them soon. River Islands in Lathrop. Mike, how do you find the time to write all these books? You're the busiest man in America.
Don't tell anyone, but I use AI. Are we on? Is this live?
This is live. We're doing it live.
Sorry. Strike that from the tape, as Shaq would say.
Yeah. Dump.
Here's kind of what happened, and you know, the whole Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour thing from Outliers. There's a certain minimum amount of grinding that you have to do in order to become as good as you're ever going to be at something. I've been for 23 years now creating written content at a breakneck rate because I've had no option but to finish a story, move on to the next one, finish that one, move on to the next one. And I've probably written 25 million words at PFT over the last 23 years. When you look at every day, 500 words here, 700 words there, 300 words here, you know, different posts are different lengths. But when you add it all up, I try to do the math, and it is in the millions, over 20 million easily. You get to the point where you can just write really fast. So when I can take an hour or two in the evening, and my son's grown now, there's nothing I need to do at night. My wife doesn't want to have anything to do with me. We've been married 30 years, you know, so it's not like I'm taking away time that we would otherwise be courting. The courting is long over. I take a couple hours, and I get to work. And because I can write fast, I can crank out 1,000 to 1,500 words an hour. And, you know, if you enjoy it, which I do, and it's a nice balance to the stuff I do at PFT, 4 years later, I got 10 manuscripts done. And hopefully 4 years from now, I'll have 10 more. My original goal was to do 20. But now that I'm at 10, I'm going to go ahead and try to push it to 30. And eventually it's just, hey, this is what I'm going to do until I can't type anymore, or I can't see anymore, or until, you know, I'm not able to do anything anymore.
Mike, we were having a little fun with this regarding the grades for the 49ers. They're 4-4. They had their bye week. What would your grade be for Shanahan and Brock Purdy this year?
Well, we did some grades on Sunday night in a podcast that we do during the third quarter of the game. And if you grade in relation to what the expectations were before the season, it's going to be a little more harsh when you had high expectations. I mean, there was talk that this is the year they're finally going to bust through and win the Super Bowl for the first time in 30 years. They've been getting close, yada, yada. So to be where they are through 8 weeks and seven games, and you can say, well, injuries are an issue, but still, it's all a total package. I put them both at a C right now, and I think that's being charitable in relation to what the preseason expectations were. But again, there's a lot of injuries, and everybody has injuries, but some teams have more than others. And this reminds me a lot of 2020, the year after the Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs the first time. You get a cluster of injuries. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Receivers start getting hurt. Other guys start getting hurt. The defense is down to basically Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. It's hard to perform at the level that they were expected to perform at. So C, but hey, it's only midterm. They still got a chance to rally before the finals.
What are you hearing about the 49ers when it comes to the upcoming trade deadline, 4 p.m. East Coast time, Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time? Are the Niners in on anything? What are you hearing? What's the latest when it comes to the Niners or trade deadline, Mike?
If they're pursuing anyone, they're keeping it very quiet. Obviously, they're not going to be sellers. They could be buyers. Anybody could be buyers at this point. And when you look at the standings through 9 weeks, the Browns proposed back in March that the trade deadline be pushed back from the Tuesday after week 8 to the Tuesday after week 9, because there's now that extra week in the regular season thanks to the 17th game. When you look at the standings, I mean, 25% of the league has 2 wins. So we're in a unique position where the cream has separated from the crap. And, you know, the 49ers are kind of stuck in the middle right now. But if they could, and I think the smart thing to do is don't be desperate. Don't overpay. Don't mortgage your future in order to add a short-term player now. But if you could swipe someone that addresses an area of need, then you do it. And then there's the other question, too, of how easy or not easy it is to take a player who isn't part of your team and plug him in and get something out of him meaningful. And, you know, there are different positions that are harder than others to come in and make a difference. But I think it makes sense to explore. And, you know, you see the breathless reporting in the run-up to the trade deadline about, oh, teams are talking about this guy, and teams are talking about – they talk about everybody. That's what the general managers do. They call all their colleagues. They talk in hypothetical terms or more concrete terms about who's available and who's not. I presume the 49ers are part of those calls. And if they can do a deal that they feel good about, then, you know, they can do it, because they clearly could use some help, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Is there anything they can do to maybe catch the Lions, who look like they're by far and away the best team in the NFC? Philadelphia may have an argument. The Commanders may have an argument about that. The latest report says the Commanders are in on Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints, a corner. That would help their secondary, no doubt about that. But is there anything the Niners can do? Because it does feel like there's a gap between the Lions and Niners, despite what happened in the NFC Championship game a season ago, Mike.
Well, and here's the bottom line. If the 49ers are going to come across the Lions in the postseason again, it's most likely going to happen at Ford Field. They do play late in the regular season, but if there's a postseason rematch, it's not going to be outdoors. It's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be inside, and you're going to have to hope that, you know, let's say the Lions get the bye and you face them in the divisional round. Sometimes that team that had the week off, you catch them flat-footed, and maybe you get lucky and you knock them out because you've been playing. You won the prior weekend in the playoffs. They were sitting at home. They lost a little of their edge. That's a possibility. The biggest threat to the Lions, I believe, we were talking about this on PFT Live today, the biggest threat, and I've said this before about other teams in other divisions in both conferences, a team from your own division rolling into your building in the playoffs, they're not intimidated by you. They come play in that building every single year. They know you better than other teams do, and they would love nothing more than to be the team that kills your special season. So if I'm the Lions, like, I'm rooting heavily against Packers, Vikings, whenever and wherever I can. I don't want them in the playoff field because I don't want them coming to Ford Field in January. Now, the Lions would say, we don't care, we'll play anybody, and that's part of what makes them special. But still, at the deepest level of their fears, the things that keep them awake at night, it's having the Packers, the Vikings show up in the playoffs.
And you think it's as simple as CMC comes back and all is well for the Niners, or is it deeper than that?
I think it's deeper than that, but when Christian McCaffrey comes back, it obviously opens up the offense, changes things because of what he can do in the passing game. It will help the passing game overall. It will make the running game a little more dynamic. I think the question is going to be, how much do you use him? Is he going to be on a pitch count? Are they going to be careful with it? This Achilles thing is a concern, and the fact that he's missed half the season underscores how significant it is. So once he starts getting some wear and tear, how's he doing? How's he feeling? Is he willing to admit that, you know, maybe I should go a little easier? Maybe it's causing me discomfort again, and I'm not just going to put my head down and power through it. He's always been that kind of guy. Put your head down and power through it. And that works until it doesn't. And if they want to get the most out of him, and really, I think, get him, you know, win games along the way, but get him ready to be at his peak in the postseason, think of the edge that gives the 49ers. He's going to be a lot fresher when January rolls around than the other players that are going to be out there on the field trying to tackle him. And that could be an edge, an unintended secret weapon for the 49ers, a fresher, relatively speaking, Christian McCaffrey when the playoffs roll around.
You've probably been on the more skeptical side of the 49er quarterbacks over the years, Jimmy and Purdy right now, just in general. Not that you haven't given them their just due. I just think that you've acknowledged some of their shortcomings. How do you view Brock Purdy right now? He's had an up and a little bit down kind of a season right now. He's played now without Brandon Ayuk, without CMC for almost the entire season. How do you assess Brock Purdy?
Well, and look, there's a small handful of truly great quarterbacks in the NFL, and the thing that distinguishes them from me, do you make a big throw in a big spot? And we saw Jimmy Garoppolo miss Emmanuel Sanders when there was still a chance to beat the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54. I think back to Jared Goff pre-Lions. He had Brandon Cooks open. The second time they ran the same play in the game, they ran it in the first half, and he didn't see Brandon Cooks. They ran it in the second half. He saw him late. He threw it behind him. Excuse me, it got broken up. Are you going to make what I call a championship throw? And, my concern about Purdy coming into the season, he had said to Mike Silver how he wants to be dominant, and I feel like he was trying to do some hero ball stuff, and we still see flashes of that. Playing within the Shanahan offense, and that's what Kyle Shanahan has always wanted. I remember when the lockout ended in 2011, Rex Grossman, who was with Washington at the time, playing for Shanahan, he was confident he was going to win the starting job. And they're like, why are you so confident? Because I'm going to do exactly what Kyle wants. I'm going to do exactly what he expects. I'm going to run the offense exactly the way he wants it to be run. And I think the more that Brock Purdy does that, it's not going to be spectacular. It's not going to have those moments that make us say, holy crap. But if he just runs the offense the way it's supposed to be run, the theory is it'll work and it'll carry you to victory and it'll presumably carry you all the way to a Super Bowl. But at some point, it's going to be 3rd and 9. You're going to be down 3 points. The season's going to be on the line and there's going to be a big play. And the question is, do you make that throw in that spot, extend the drive, and ultimately win the game?
What do you think, like, in terms of money, where do you think he's at financially over these last 9 weeks?
Well, this one is fascinating because he wasn't a first-round pick. And because he's got a low fourth-year salary, it's going to be easier for the 49ers to give him a deal that has a much larger new money average than what the total average will be when the contract is signed. And that's important because we're just talking about total dollars that he's going to eventually get. So I could see him being around 50, even though in new money, even though the contract would be worth a lot less than that. You know, the question is he the guy long-term? And it sure seems like that's what Kyle Shanahan believes. So you make the commitment, you pay the money, you look at the details of the deal to see what the true nature and extent of the commitment is. Most of these deals now are 3 years, some are 2 years, but I suspect he'll do a deal that ties him to the 49ers for three more years from their perspective. Obviously, he'll be tied to them longer than that. And then we just see where it goes from here. But this is one of the things of having a quarterback that's doing well. At some point, you got to pay him and you play it out. If you don't pay him, it goes the Kirk Cousins route where he finishes his rookie contract, you franchise tag him 1 year, you franchise tag him a second year, and then he walks away into free agency. So that's what they're trying to avoid. And I assume they'll get it all worked out, but we've seen some tough negotiations in the past between the 49ers and some of their players. I have a feeling that won't happen with Brock Purdy, but I could see something coming around 50. And remember this too, the cap keeps going up, the market keeps going up. 50 is not going to...
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Look all that ridiculous sooner rather than later.
Mike, before we let you go, I know you're all over the league stuff and what's happening in the inner workings of the league. Nick Bosa's played phenomenal football over the last month. There's no doubt about that, living up to his contract. But the hat he wore on Sunday Night Football made a lot of rounds, made a lot of news. A lot of people wrote articles about it. What was the reaction from the league? What did you hear about the reaction from the league when it came to Nick Bosa and wearing the hat? He didn't address the statements in the postgame. He said, hey, look, it's a big time in our lives. Whatever he said, I'm paraphrasing here. But was there any reaction from the league circle, league offices, about Nick Bosa wearing the hat that he wore on Sunday Night Football?
Oh, they kept their mouths shut. I emailed them multiple times. And the way that it goes, and this is how they handle me, and I'm sure it's how they handle others. If they don't want to deal with it, they just ignore you. And they force you to remember, on top of everything else you're doing, to ask them again. And, I tried twice with them on this one and then forgot about it, and others had tried as well. They said nothing. And then they selectively leaked to friendly reporters on Friday, late afternoon, East Coast time, that they're reviewing the Nick Bosa hat and there won't be any decision for, the next several days or whatever. They're trying to kick the can until after the election, because if they had fined him last week, that would have been jammed into the final push, anything and everything, throw out the kitchen sink, anything you can use to try to spark fake outrage, get people motivated to go out and vote. And it would have been, oh, look at this. The NFL wants to censor free speech of players. But and that's not what it's about. It's about following the rules, and the rules make it clear, regardless of what was on that hat. When any political party, any political candidate, any political statement, there are people who actually argue with a straight face that Make America Great Again is not something that supports any particular candidate. People will actually argue that. But I think anybody with a functioning brain knows what that means and who that's for. And whoever would have been supported by any hat that anyone wore breaks the rules and is subject to a fine. Any product, any message, anything. You're breaking the rules and you're subject to a fine. But the NFL wisely waiting until after the election so it doesn't become yet another basis for people to thump their chest and gnash their teeth and clutch their pearls and say, I can't believe they're trying to stifle someone who's just trying to exercise his free speech rights.
Was there any difference in the way this was covered going back to Colin Kaepernick when he did what he did, protesting the national anthem, although he was fighting for social, you know, just police brutality and social justice. Did you see any difference in the way Bosa was covered compared to Colin Kaepernick?
I didn't really notice it, but I didn't pay attention to how others covered it. I mean, I think it was an interesting story because of what the rules say. Now, some people might have been concerned about wading into the morass that you would have if it's perceived that you're anti-MAGA because you dared to cover the story and you dared to point out that wearing that hat violates the rules. And I got a lot of whataboutism directed at me. Well, what about Colin Kaepernick? What about him? He didn't get fined. Well, folks, the rules allowed players who are required to be on the sideline, and the rules still allow players who are required to be on the sideline, they're allowed to not stand for the anthem. They're allowed to take a knee. They're allowed to sit down if they want to. The rules allow it. They tried to change it. They never reached an agreement. The rules still allow it. And Colin Kaepernick did get punished because he ultimately got shunned from the league because he's the one that helped the players recognize, hey, you know what? We've got the power here to protest during the national anthem. He's the one that caused them to realize it, and he paid for it with his career. And look, there's a lot of issues and arguments that goes into who's really at fault here, but clearly he became viewed as an undesirable figure in the NFL by multiple teams, if not all teams, after he did what he did. So there was a price to pay, even though what he did was fully within the rules.
Mike, how does this shake down for the 49ers to end the year here? Do you believe in them to make a deep run and get, let's just say, to an NFC championship game? Or are you out on that?
No, I think they can still make it to the playoffs because they're in a division where the team that's currently in first place is 5-4. So, yes, they can turn it around. They have to stop blowing games that they have in the bag. They need to humble themselves a little bit. They need to view each game as a game that has significant postseason ramifications. And then once you get into the playoffs, all that goes away. All that matters at that point is, what's your spot on the playoff tree? And even then, who cares? We're in. You know what our mandate is? Win. Mm. Win or go home. And if they can get to the postseason, all the stuff, all the struggles. I mean, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I can palpably sense it. When you turn the page on the end of the regular season, it just feels different. Everything feels different, and you forget about week one through week 18, and it all comes down to, what are you going to do in the 60 minutes that you have available to you? Are you going to have a good day? Are you going to have a bad day? Are you going to show up? Are you going to fight through adversity? Are you going to make the plays when the plays are necessary? And are you going to advance to the next round? And if they get in, they have enough playoff experience that they could be a team that gets hot and gets dangerous, especially if they're healthy.
No doubt about that. Mike, you're always good to us, man. Father of mine and son of mine, available right now on Amazon. I hear you got a third book coming out. Keep up the great work at PFT, man. We always love talking to you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime. Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Gas Line. A lot there with the 49ers, man, as they make the second half push after the bye week. And the games are set up. This month of November is going to tell us a lot, Jasky. I think we're going to know a lot about the Niners when they play Tampa Bay. And I know Tampa Bay's shorthanded, but they're going to be tough at home. And they're going to be pissed off from losing that game last night at Arrowhead Stadium. Then you got Seattle at home. We all know division games are different. And then you go to Green Bay and Buffalo. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. This is huge, man. This is my type of season right here. This is where the cream separates itself from the crop, Shasky.
So we asked him about Purdy, and he said most of these contracts for these guys, the quarterback position, they're essentially like three-year deals, mm-hmm. right? So I'm just asking you as a Niner fan, like a five-year starter uninterrupted at quarterback, you think it happens more than it does?
No, it doesn't.
It's really hard. Like, no. I'm just looking back at Jimmy G's time, and we'll go back in a second, but like Steve Young had a five-year uninterrupted mm-hmm. run, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff Garcia didn't.
Nope.
Right? And Alex Smith was up and down, right? Up and down. He lost his job. He missed an entire season because of the shoulder injury. I mean, at one point, Sean Hill took his job.
Yep.
J.T. O'Sullivan had his job.
Troy Smith took his job.
Exactly. And then he won it back, right? Yep. And that was all in a five-year period. Colin Kaepernick had the job, and then he got benched in favor of Blaine Gabbert by year five, right? I look at Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm just looking at it like, okay, traded halfway through the year, hurts himself. I don't think he lost the job, per se. 2019 was amazing. 2020, it did feel like he kind of lost the job a little toward the end because of all the murmurs about the high ankle sprain and where he was. Right. But he had kind of like an up and down. If Brock Purdy plays five straight years as the uninterrupted starter, now, obviously, there's injuries. It would be an accomplishment. I know it sounds crazy on the surface.
No, when you look around the league, think about how rare it is. Now, Josh Allen's going to do his five in Buffalo, probably, what is it, year five already?
I think he got drafted in 2017, so he might already
been there. Mahomes is there.
Yeah.
Herbert's going to be there with
Lamar's
the Chargers. Lamar's there now with Baltimore. But you look at Pittsburgh now. Look at our quarterback situation. Is Russ going to be there for 5 years? Probably not.
No.
You know?
No. Burrow?
Burrow, yeah, Burrow's a good one.
Yeah.
Burrow's a good one. He's going to be there for a while.
Tua's been there a minute, but I think, was he 2020 or 2021?
He's same class with Herbert.
So they
same class with Herbert. Yeah. But we don't know about Tua after this season, right?
Well, he is locked in.
He's locked in, but we thought Russell Wilson was locked in. There's teams more than willing to eat the dead cap if they want to move on to another quarterback. Now, Jalen Hurts looks like he may have a 5-year runway in Philadelphia, although it's hairy.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot to gain or lose.
Right.
Not that he's gone, but like.
But this is a big year for Hurts.
I completely agree.
Dak Prescott has been in Dallas forever.
It feels like forever.
The Commanders look like they got themselves one.
No doubt.
In Jaden Daniels. Now things change, but Daniel Jones has been there, and some may say Daniel Jones has been there for way too long in New York City.
Oh, I would be one of those people.
But I bet it's a little rare, like. You know, you try to find a quarterback and try to get the 5 to 6 year world, because that's what it takes, right? To find out if he really got the guy. And under Shanahan, it's yet to be seen with Brock Purdy. Now, would it shock me if Brock Purdy wasn't here as the starting quarterback for 5 years? No, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me, especially with this head coach.
I think I'd be more shocked if he played 5 years interrupted at starting quarterback, just given how the league
is. Uninterrupted?
Yeah, uninterrupted. Given how the league is and how this team is and just how volatile the NFL is right now and, like, stuff happens. And it's not, I'm not even knocking him. I'm just saying, like, the league is kind of crazy.
Right.
You know, I thought Russell Wilson would only play for Seattle.
Yeah, and then now he's out of
starting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I just think we kind of underrate, like, when we say they got a franchise quarterback, in our head, it's like 10 years.
Yeah, no.
Guys, five.
No, the stability at the quarterback position has never been more volatile.
Yeah.
Because it's such a win now league.
Yeah.
You know, guys want to win now. So,
and the money and that they're making. Yep. I think the money they're making, it forces you to eat more. Like, you're more willing to eat money now more than ever. And so, like, when he said, like, a 3-year deal, if they could get some sort of a 3-year deal in the $50 million range, that'd be great.
Go ahead.
And the reason why I say that, like, I was looking at the Tua situation, and I was like, God, I hate paying Tua $55 million, right? And I still feel that way. But I just saw the drop-off without Tua.
Oh.
So whatever you think the drop-off is from Josh Allen to Tua, I think the drop-off is big. But from Tua to his backup is bigger than whatever the drop-off is between Allen and Tua, right?
That's just my belief. Tyreek Hill was irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, Tyreek Hill's still a good player. Well, now he's got a quarterback back. But you bring up Brock Purdy, the contract. I'm going to squeeze this in before we leave today. But John Lynch joined Tim Kawakami on the Tim Kawakami podcast. And let's talk to, he discussed planning ahead for Brock's contract. Here's what John Lynch had to say about it.
We are always doing planning. You have to. If you're doing your job, it's 3 years out. You're constantly planning. And then things happen, like the quarterback numbers explode, you know, this offseason. And so you're constantly monitoring. We can't even touch Brock until the end of this season. Brock's still a young player. We're just focused on this season. Now, me in the front office, we're always planning on those things. And at the appropriate time, we'll address that. But right now, we're focused on Tampa. We're focused on the second half this season and being the best we can be, because we think that's pretty good. And we think it's a team that can compete for the whole thing. And that's why we're doing this.
Well, does paying a quarterback change how you build a roster? Here's what John Lynch said about that.
I think you do. When I was broadcasting, I watched this happen with the Seahawks. And when Russell got paid, you know, they were a team much like us, similar roots to their scheme that ran 8 or 9 deep. And I remember sometimes, like, it was a guy like, you know, Red Bryant, who was an important run stopper of their team. Well, he won there the next year, and attrition starts to, you can't pay everybody. That's the challenge. And sometimes it's the depth. It's not the star players. It's the depth, the quality depth.
The quality of depth that gets challenged when you do pay big money for one position, and that's what we're staring at with Brock Purdy after the season.
So, like, I was making the point about Josh Allen and the drop-off to Tua. It's a big drop-off, right? So whatever you think the drop-off is from Mahomes to Purdy, like, I acknowledge that. Like, Mahomes is the best in the game. Whatever anyone thinks, like, if you think Purdy's mid, fine, so be it. Now what's the drop-off from Purdy to his backup? I think it's dramatic, right? And so where I'm going at is that I want to pay Purdy. I want him on as best of a deal as possible, knowing on the front end all of these price points, I have sticker shock. So I think we've learned our lesson the last two off seasons.
But is there anything that could change that over the next nine games?
Well, of course. I'll feel more comfortable or less comfortable, right? But B, I'm kind of concerned. The reason I'm resigned to it because the Raiders have no quarterback, and they're horrible. New England thinks they have a young player who's promising. They're horrible. Miami, I saw when their quarterback got hurt, their starter, who I don't even like that much, Tua. It's a big difference between Tua and the backup. Like, you're unplayable with the backup quarterback. Jets, quarterback situation is a big part of it. Cleveland, Tennessee, Giants, Saints, Carolina, Dallas. These are all places where when you look at the quarterback, it is why they suck. It is.
It's a big part of it, but it's also infrastructure, coaching, defense.
Absolutely.
But you need to have the stability at the quarterback position, no doubt about it. But when I look at these other teams, they're horrible in so many different areas that I'm thinking to myself, well, if you did have a quarterback, like Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, you can make the argument Lamar's playing better than him right now. But if you put Lamar on the Carolina Panthers, how much better are they?
Maybe a game or two.
If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Carolina Panthers, how much better are they?
I'm saying,
you know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. It is quarterback depth, so you need to build an infrastructure to where your quarterback can thrive in. And that's why Brock Purdy, or whoever's been quarterback for the 49ers, you know, Brock Purdy with this roster has been able to thrive. Now it takes a special quarterback to take him to the next level, which Brock Purdy deserves credit for. But if you're in the wrong situation, and you're in a situation to where you don't have a good defense, you don't have good wide receivers, you don't have good running backs, you don't have good coaching, you're going to struggle anyway.
Well, of course. But I think where I've come down on this is that at the first opportunity in whenever February window opens up, just give Brock whatever the money that you can negotiate and come to an agreement on that's not top of the market. Just come to an agreement, 3 years, 50-something million, lock it in, because by August, that number might be 71 million.
Now, what if Brock
Purdy? And that's what I don't want to do.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how the next nine games are going to play out. I'll just throw this out there. And I'm not saying that I want this guy, because I'm with you. I want to see Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's been excellent with the 49ers.
I just don't want to see them wait till August again.
But what if they get to February and they decide, you know what, we don't know if we want to pay Brock Purdy. And Sam Darnold becomes available.
Well, how
big is the drop-off? You get what I'm saying?
No, I know.
These next nine games are going to determine
a lot. They had him in the building. So, like, that, I guess my question to them would be, like, you had him in the building. And I know
a lot of people in that building love Darnold. A lot of people in that building thought Darnold would push Purdy for the job, but Purdy played so well that I think he kind of left that point mute. But who knows, man? Who knows what's going to happen here? Who knows?
I hadn't even considered.
Injuries could happen.
No, I hadn't considered Darnold.
Injuries could happen. Fallouts could happen. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. I think Brock Purdy will be here. But we have to be careful because we know this head coach, he will fall out of love with you in a heartbeat here. So we'll see how these next nine games play out Sunday. Sunday's big.
I just
Sunday's
think there's something to be big. There's something to be said for stability at that position.
No,
and
you
then
have
there's
to
some
have
clarity.
It.
And then I look at it like if they can have a draft, like this year's draft seems like an excellent one. You don't even have to be this good every year. But this is how you reset your roster is you get a bunch of draft picks making very little bit of money and you have a 2 or 3 year kind of build back up. Not saying that you're not competitive, but like look at what Buffalo's doing.
Well,
look
you need
what
a
Kansas
quarterback.
City's done.
I mean, I think we all know you need a quarterback. There's no doubt.
No
you
doubt.
Need a quarterback.
No doubt. But they also have to draft well to
right.
your point.
You have to draft
you
well.
You have to draft well.
But you have to draft well. You have to build around the quarterback because it's just one position.
But this is where, and like I look at the Ayuk injury, it's like we're not even really talking about it now because we're in the season and they're playing games. But it's really going to suck next year because he is making a lot of money next year. And you were hoping to build the offense around what he does because he's so good. And like, I don't know what he's going to be.
We don't know what he's going to be, but this is why it's big for Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
What if they ball out? All right, fast five me.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Meep, meep. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity.
Supercharge
your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
One final thought is this 45-second clip of Draymond Green discussing his trash-talking against the Washington Wizards.
I just told him, keep going. And stay on that same type of energy with everybody. You know, every one of these guys you run up against that's supposed to be the who's who's, stay on that type of time. Because that's how you get respect. You don't get respect for running the other way. You get respect for running up to them guys, and this is who I am. I don't really care. Keyshawn said something. He's like, you can't shoot. I said, you've been watching people say that. When you were in elementary school, you was watching me win a championship, and people was thinking that same thing. He's like, yeah, I don't care. I like that. I like that. Like, you make the next one. And when we was going back and forth, I told him, I said, don't help. And then he was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to keep helping. I said, I can't help off you right now. You can't help off me right now. But it was good banter. I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
Trayvon's all the way back. He's having a hell of a start to the season.
On a day where today's an election day, I'm not going to tell people how to vote or what to think or anything like that, but I would say this, is that I'm out and about a lot like you are, Bonte, and I think the majority of people that I run into are good people.
Yeah.
Who aren't in the internet screaming and yelling at each other, ripping on others. Like, I have a little boy, you have a little girl, Joey's got kids. We all kind of want the same thing. We want a safe community that we can respect and love each other. So go by the golden rule today. Whatever happens, whether you're happy or sad for any part of the legislation and the candidates that are available, treat people how you want to be treated. The golden rule in life. It's very simple to me. All right. I'm not saying it's a catch-all for everything. I understand there's some important stuff out there, but treat people well and it'll come back to you. I believe in those things. I believe in karma. So let's be good to each other today, in the words of Ryan Covey.
What's that?
Yeah. And just to echo off that, yeah, be sure to go vote today if you have not. And then I said this last night, I'll say it now. After you vote, go home and turn your TV off or watch something on Netflix. Just don't bear yourself.
Watch the Sharks.
Watch the Sharks.
Return to the Mac.
Mac will celebrate back, though. Baby. Are we going to have 6 seconds celebrating tomorrow?
Come on, Blue Jackets. Ha-ha, Sharks are hot. They've won 3 of 4.
Can you name a Blue Jacket?
I cannot name a Blue Jacket.
Doesn't matter.
Shout out Levi's. Blue Jackets. Come on, that's where you pivot and don't panic right there.
That is phenomenal.
What's the name? This whole show, yeah. Other than the morning roast, like, what's the book of
Chaos?
Is that it? Is 95.7 the game? If like we had a book of the start of this,
oh my god,
guys, we got a break.
Station.
Oh my
clock,
gosh.
Clock, clock, clock.
I want to meet with you after the show.
Oh man, I don't
pop
oh,
in here.
Gosh,
pop in here. When
I,
you
don't,
have a set.
I don't know.
Here.
That's a great question. It's going to take me 24 hours to think about that one.
That might.
So-and-so's out today.
That might be it. Well, that's a station one. The I think that might melon. Be an open segment tomorrow. Give us the autobiography of the morning roast.
Or my chapter about the middays. The midday mail-in. How we melted in for 4 hours in the afternoon during lunchtime.
I'm out.
Hey, man, those are beautiful shows that we did that week.
I'm out.
It'd be something like this. Oh, baby, I'm excited, but don't put words in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
That's a five. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Celtics Warriors on a Warriors Wednesday. Woo! Can't wait to dive into that. That's all. And I'm sure Stidey. Stidey's out. Evan Giddings is in the building. Alongside Darren Akuru Johnson. Now it's Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a good day, everybody.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.